Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Doggy, somebody better check on my blood pressure. I survived. I did not make a fool of myself. I'm able to watch an Avalanche game. As you can tell when you're watching this live, I am not in the normal studio in my parents' basement. I did take it on a mobile undisclosed location because I needed to see if changing up the juju would work. And hey, look at that. It did. Welcome everybody to a special bonus edition post-game of Game 2 of the Avalanche and Winnipeg Jets series. The Avalanche take game two with a score of 5-3, thanks to a lot of different people. We'll go through and mention them all. But the empty netter, the one that sealed things, a beautiful little no-look turnaround backhand from big Val Nichushkin. It's so nice to have him back. And, man, it's just...
Look, I know everybody was on Georgiev's case. I know, and it was rightfully so. But I walk into these games with PVO. That's my attitude. PVO, positive vibes only. And look, let's be honest with ourselves. We can talk about Georgiev in depth a little bit later. But the first two goals were very, very tough. It was a one rebound, and it was one of the nicest one-handed tip stick taps I've ever seen in. And besides that, the team was buzzing, absolutely flying around. They were out skating Winnipeg, up and down the ice. And ladies and gentlemen, we have put 10 goals. I know we talk about Georgiev's number. We put 10 goals on the Vezina winning trophy winner. Yes, we scored 5 goals today, but the one was empty netter. Like Jimmy said, we just put 10 goals on the Vezina winner in the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely massive. And like I said, these boys are buzzing. And like I said, we did what we needed to do. We still won Winnipeg. Obviously, you would have liked to win game one. Obviously, we win game two, and now you get to come back home and you have home ice back. That's all we wanted. So I'm very, very happy with this performance tonight from all aspects. There were some things that I still was scratching my head at, but then there were adjustments toward the end of the game that the Avs just absolutely put the pedal to the metal in the second period and finished the game off in third.
This game had a lot to it, and I think that we need to talk about it in stages because we were chatting throughout the game. I was kind of talking to people that are – here watching the game with me. It was a very Jekyll and Hyde-ish. I texted you from the beginning. It was very starting to lose my patience into waiting for that flip, the switch to flip. I know that they're a good team. I've seen them play really well following that trade deadline. So I wanted to see it happen in the playoffs. I knew that this was what they were capable of. And I wouldn't say it's an A-plus game because the quick goal that you gave up, the way things worked out today was not the goals that Georgiev made, the saves that he needed to make, and he made absolutely a couple that you were like, "Ooh, okay, now we have a goal. Yeah. Now we have a goaltender, ladies and gentlemen. This is when we can play true, grown-up, legitimate professional hockey."
He was seeing a lot of clean shots. That's what I said after game one. He was not seeing a lot of clean shots. The two least clean shots and deflections that happened that were the two goals, right? The weird bounce, the triple bounce that he was out of position for that just landed right in a Winnipeg stick that went in 3 minutes in the game. And then obviously the crazy one-handed tap stick with one arm from Scheifele, which like I said, that's a hell of a play. That is a tip of the cap. Not many goalies in the league today are able to stop that. And if you are, you're cream of the crop, plain and simple. And besides that, you saw the third period specifically when the Avs were on that power play or man down with Duhaime going down. He stepped up big time, making saves, making sure there was no rebounds, no second opportunities. And like I said, seeing clean shots and then also the block shots after the second period on, first period not so many, second period on, the Avs were blocking so many damn shots. I believe the count was about even at the end. But when you look at that first, I think it was in the first period, that four-minute power play, it might have been second period, four-minute power play, where we only had three shots on net, it was mainly because of Winnipeg blocking the shots. So for some reason, Bednar said, why the fuck can't we do that? why can't we do that? We have a goalie that doesn't have the most confidence right now. And how do we build confidence? Clean shots and block shots. That's all you have to, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. And it worked out perfectly.
Well, I think, too, before we even start talking specifically, obviously we're already kind of on the topic, but before we get to what we think was the biggest change from game one to game two, that conversation, because I was listening back to our episode earlier today that I said needed to be had, where you're like, it's unfortunate, and I guess it's not unfortunate because of the way that things worked out. But initially when I came home and saw that Anonin was still sick, it made me a little bit nervous because I wanted to have an answer to this question. Because you had two ways that things were going to go tonight if Anonin was available. He was going to be in the net, and he was going to get shelled, and he was going to get pulled, or he was going to play well, and that's going to be your goaltender for the remainder of the series. Georgiev ended up kind of taking that. He took that conversation off the table, but the team, they went to the team. They said, hey, if you give up 7 goals, it can't just be your goaltender, A. So defense, we need to be in the right positions. We need to be in front of people. But from top down the depth, whether it was scoring, I have the guys who scored underneath. Noticed a couple names that you won't see on that list. Well, they probably got assists, but just the goals. No Nathan MacKinnon, no Mikko Rantanen. Val Nichushkin gets the one at the very end, but for a long time he did not have any goals, but he was doing a lot of things. But everybody seemed like they got together. They're like, we're at risk of doing this thing 2 years in a row, boys. We're at risk of being the cup favorite at the beginning of the season and then losing in the first round to a team that we know is not as talented as we are. Shifley, Connor, Morrissey, I would say Namestnikov, those are guys that scare me when they are on the ice. Anybody else that's out there, like they were trying to talk Lowry up like he's some – they're talking about Lowry like he's Steve Yzerman in 1996. And I'm like, dude, no, he was gifted a C by a team that already had a captain. It was literally a coach that just wanted to come in and shake things up. And that's why that dude is wearing a C on his chest. And it went to his head. I'm really starting to dislike this Winnipeg team. If I'm being 100% honest, I never really had any issues with them in the past. But the Avalanche, the attitude that we saw today, I was going to be pumped up for Friday no matter what when we're there live. But now that we see the energy that this team is bringing, and you can't tell me that place, the Ball Arena, especially now that we see the bar that was set by Winnipeg, because I'll give their crowd credit, until they left, until that whiteout bottle ran dry, they put on a pretty decent atmosphere. It's going to be different when you come to Mile High.
That's all. And look, the thing you said about the other players getting involved, like I what worries me is the depth still, because obviously Duhame had a very, very tough game. The guy played half his time in the box. And then also I did not like Caleb Jones, Seth Jones' brother. I did not like his game at all. And Jack Johnson obviously had some big mistakes as well. And that depth is
pretty decent plays towards the end.
Yeah, at the end, but he definitely made some mistakes at the beginning that I was just like, come on, Jack, you're more of a veteran than this. But like I said, the best player on the ice tonight was Valeri Nichushkin. It wasn't even close. It frankly, look, what MacKinnon and what Kale were creating were perfect, but there was a person that was disrupting every chance that Winnipeg was trying to get momentum going into the zone. It was Valeri Nichushkin. He was right there at the right time, making every play, making every stick change. That's what he's known for, right? His forecheck is one of the best in the NHL. He knows his size. And how long his stick paws on that, how long his stick is absolutely untouchable. When you see that big of a man with that big of much speed coming at you. So he's been fantastic. I really, really liked what Kale and especially Devon Toews. I gave him a lot of criticism game one. Toews was a much, much better defenseman tonight. I saw a lot clearer plays and a lot less forcing the puck up to trying to get a one-on-one. I saw a lot more clearing the puck, a lot more get guys to space, take your time clearing the puck, make sure everyone gets the right spots, and then use your speed to your advantage. Because like I said, this team has a massive speed advantage. It's not even close. They have one guy over there, Kyle Connor, who's faster than everyone in the league. But that's about it. That's about it. Everybody else is Shafley's getting old. Obviously, their defense is getting old. You force shot. You get into, once you get into the zone, you can outskate them very, very easily from point A to point B. They're not as shifty at us. They're not as quick and stick handled as us defensively. And taking advantage of that is what worked out perfectly. And like I said, Hellebuck is a Vezina. He's going to win the Vezina this year. Plain and simple. You fire these shots at the net the way the Avs did. You test him. We talk, oh, Winnipeg's going to test Georgiev. Well, the Avs need to test Hellebuck too, because very, very few goalies, as good as Hellebuck has been, can let in 10 goals in two games in the playoffs and don't lose their net. But obviously, Hellebuck isn't going to lose the net. And as of right now, yes, we count the previous game, the last game of regular season, 7-0. But Georgiev right now is leading the goal differential over Hellebuck, 10-9.
It's a touchdown. We said he needed a touchdown 2-point conversion. He got it. He's out in front. He's back out in front. One thing that I do want to mention with Nichushkin, I think that I agree with you. Overall, he's probably the best player. All the Russians that we saw out there on the ice tonight. I'm gonna Kivi Ranta. He might not be Russian. So if he's not, if he's Ukrainian or something
that,
else
that
like
is,
that.
That is Finnish. That is a very
Finnish. Really?
Yeah, Kivi Ranta is a very Finnish
name. Okay, well, I'll say the international players, because Val Nichushkin, Kivi Ranta was your depth player of the game, is what I'll say. Val is one of your big dogs. Kivi Ranta could be the depth player. And then obviously Georgiev not letting those two goals initially, because that was my really big issue with how he was playing down the stretch, is that when he would let one in, then we saw the frustration come out. And we saw him launch pucks into the stands. We saw him crack sticks. The literal only person, only real people that I have an issue with today, I get Duhaime was trying to do something. You caused more harm than good. Unfortunately, you didn't play a lot tonight because of all the special team situations. You ain't going to play a lot Friday night because Jared Bednar is not going to trust you. You're going to be in the biz nasty role. You open the gate, you close the gate. You scoot down the bench. You might be out there for like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. If things go certain ways, you'll get your chances again. That's a really wasted opportunity. And it felt like he was either going to break through and have the game that it seemed like he was destined to have, or he was going to go the opposite way. And unfortunately, that was what ended up happening.
Yeah, that number 12, I think, has some bad juju. Obviously, Johansson was absolutely
terrible. Get the 12 out of here.
And look, obviously, I'm going to be very critical of him, but if you're Jared Bednar, he's going to have to play 5 to 6 minutes at minimum. That's just, look, when you play at altitude, it's a lot more line changes. I'm sorry, but that's just what happens. And unfortunately, especially early on in playoffs, excuse me, oh, I'm choking. Especially early on in playoffs, you have to have these depth lines get a lot of time, or else you are going to wear thin by the end of the playoffs. And this is not a sprint. It's a marathon, and like I said, you're gonna have to have Duhaime. You're gonna have to have the likes of these Kivi Rantas and of sorts, and trying to and Caglianos getting that third and fourth line just some production where they're a threat on the ice. They're a threat on the ice, and you know that they're not making mistakes in the back end, and that's what you have to hope for going forward.
Nico, he was on the ice for 6.5 minutes. He had 4 PIMs. Four out of your 6 minutes that you had your opportunity tonight, you just
Those don't count toward it. So it's 10 minutes of total ice time that he was expected to have, and obviously got decreased. But that's not good. That's not good at all.
No, and it would have been nice too if he had. I mean, go back to our 2 years ago in that Western Conference final run, the JT Compher goal coming out of the box, Josh Manson's goal today coming out of the box. Those are big situations. Let's start back in that first period, because I thought it was going to be a lot bigger of an issue, and they were saying it on the broadcast tonight too. When they kill the double minor, because you get a penalty, so you get on the power play. Your special teams has been great. That's want to even the score because you're already down one.
And the special teams kept you in the game first game.
Yeah, it's first penalty of the game. You get the blood, so you get the 4 minutes. You get the extra 2 minutes to score on this power play, and I think they said they had 4 shots in 4 minutes. Frustrating, and when bad thing is when you have a kill like that. So yes, it's terrible to give up a double minor or a major, but if you can get a kill on a double minor or a major, that juices you up. So we're very lucky that game wasn't 2-0 or 2-1, 3-1 going into the second period after that penalty kill.
I'm pretty sure it was 2-1 on them going into the second period. I know we were down, but they scored right after killing.
It was 1-0 going into the second. We scored four goals in the second period.
Correct. I do forget now that we didn't score the second period. Either way, look, it was a massive kill for them. It was a massive minor boost, and I'm not going to sit here and chirp about the power play unit because obviously the percentage is still very, very good. Considering they had three power play goals in game one, obviously you would have liked that 4-minute penalty. But the best thing is, I look, the power play minutes are very, very important, and getting goals when your man up is important. I think it's much more important to kill those odd man, or those when you're down a man, those kills, and that's the defender in me, because when you take dumb penalties like Duhame did, like a couple of other guys did, it can be a momentum stopper and can change the momentum entirely in the game. And being able to kill every single power play opportunity for Winnipeg today's game, and also only allowing one goal in the power play in the first game, that is a demoralizer as a unit, because you're like, you know, this should be something that we need to capitalize on, and the Winnipeg has not done that, and they did it on their home ice. Now it's going to be something completely different. Going a man down or going a man up or on the road is going to be much tougher because the crowd behind the abs is going to be different. So that's what I love from a defense, is like, it really is a next play mentality. And the way they block shots, and what I saw from Mikko getting on the ice, I saw Jack Johnson on the ice and take dives.
They were in all kinds of passing lanes. it was kind of incredible. It was like they had a Matrix level ability tonight, where a puck could be skidding across the ice and it would bounce, and they could knock it out of midair 2 feet off the ice. They were absolutely killer. Just in the neutral zone with their stick, there's a couple times where it looked like Winnipeg. It was a good pass, but an Av just swooped right in, stole it off their stick, made it look like the pass was intended for them, and we're going back the other way. It's the most solid hockey game I've seen this team play in a month. That's why there was such high levels of anxiety, because it's been about a month since they started that end of the season skid.
And kudos, and also to add on to that, the defense clearing the puck out and taking their time and making the right decisions also goes as kudos to Georgiev, because like I said, there was maybe three or four second chance opportunities off of shots. There was not many shots that were bouncing off him and a second opportunity was made. It was caught or it missed the net. That's fortunately, that was what we were living with, and be able to do that is massive. And look, Buchogross decided to reiterate every time Georgiev had the puck in his glove about, oh, his hand's very shaky. Oh, his hands are very shaky. And, well, hand's very shaky, but you know what? He put on the performance tonight. He continues doing that. This team is going to go a long way. So I'm going to say it, because, like I said, you have to make the goalie's life as easy as possible. The Habs did not do that in game one. And when you have a goalie that's already as shaken as Georgiev was against this team less than a week ago, dropping 7 in the first game and obviously dropping 7 in the second, Bednar said, you know what, we trust you, Georgiev. Were they going to throw Prosvetov out there, who was technically the backup tonight? Absolutely not. That was never a thing. If a Noonan was available, that could have been a possibility. But he Bednar said, I need you to prove it to me. And what Georgiev did and made life so much easier for his defenders and let the offense cook is exactly what you want from a goaltender.
Big shout out for Zach Parise as well. There's a lot of Buchogross was beating everything over the head and beating it down into the ground. Is a Batman meme. You know what he's having? That's what I thought. Okay. So Zach Parise is an old guy. This is his last season in the NHL. I don't know if you knew that, but John Buchogross made sure everybody who tuned in tonight knew. The parallels between him and Ray Bourque. I know that Bourque is a totally different anomaly because he was truly just a legend on one team. He's probably one of the greatest of all time for that franchise as a defenseman for sure. And now you have this guy that it's not the same level of player, but it's the same storyline. And you can tell, I think we saw the same thing with Cogliano 2 years ago. Now Cogliano is the guy that everybody is happy they got his cup. People have said they want to see Parise. By the way, if we're going to – not to totally rip off the chiclet shtick, but Parise's a handsome fella. For missing a couple teeth, that guy, he does not look like he's 40 years old running around there right now. He doesn't look old. He doesn't look out of place. He had a hell of a putback goal. That was a huge play. Like Hellebuyck thought he was safe because he was in the trapezoid and got the puck stripped. And instead of forcing anything, they just found the play that was there. That was what the Avalanche did from about halfway through the first period to the end of the game. We don't need to force anything. Like you were talking about too on our last post game show. We don't need the breakout pass all foot in front of the blue line so that we can get in and get on a rush. I'm going to find an opening. Connor Hellebuyck is human. That's what we've proven this so far this series. There's a lot of good to take away from a lot that happened tonight. I was hopeful that this was the conversation we were going to be having, but I will tell you if it didn't, I would be lying to everybody if I didn't say that it crept in the back of my mind. Like, what if they come out here and it's the same story all over again? What if this team is broken or needed more fixing than anybody's willing to acknowledge? Maybe it was a fluke right after the trade deadline, but I think those worries can be put to rest. That does not mean that this series is over by any stretch. First thing I said after this game, Friday night's going to be a bloodbath both ways. Both teams are going to come out and put everything on the line because whoever wins, like Winnipeg now needs to get home ice back. They need one out of Denver. If they can get the first one, great. Now the Avs get their home crowd. This is what everybody was saying. The Avalanche are deadly at home. One of the best home records in the entire NHL. Good luck.
And you have one of the best home records in the NHL, and obviously McKinnon has a near point every single time he touches home ice. And look, there's a reason why I was not panicking at all. Down 1-0 to start. Obviously, Georgiev has two goals go in, and we go down 2-1. I was not panicking at all because, you know what? I know what a seven-game series is. I know what a seven-game series entails because Winnipeg is supposed to win these first two games. Let's not kid ourselves. Plain and simple. They're supposed to win their two games. The Avalanche have to fly to Canada, a five-hour flight. They play in an opposing locker room. They are in freezing cold Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Not a very fun place to go play. It is a disadvantage as a road team. Plain and simple. And the fact that you, in my opinion, outplayed them in both games, outside of some mistakes in game one, you outplayed them for two games, that is a massive momentum piece. That's a massive momentum piece. I believe that they did outplay them in both games. There were just some mistakes that were made. And obviously those mistakes were fixed in the second game. And let's not – and like I said, it's a long, long series. You did – you stole one. Let's not forget. The Avs won this game very handily, in my opinion. But after the second period on, it was over. But we stole one. And our high expectations, are so high because we know how good this team can be, plain and simple. But to be honest with ourselves, we did what is not expected of us. We did what was not expected of us as the opposing team. Obviously, Avalanche expectations, Nuggets expectations, very different. But we did what we were supposed to. Winnipeg did not do what they were supposed to do, and we took advantage of that. And now, like you said, getting that home ice advantage back is absolutely massive. Absolutely massive. And you shook the best goalie in the regular season. Plain and simple. You have shook that confidence. I don't care how good Hellebuyck is. Obviously, he's known for his playoff woes, apparently, especially after what happened last year to this team, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But being able to get to him and get in his head quickly is something not a lot of teams can do. You can have one game. You can have two games. But there's going to be games this series. And I said it after game one. There's going to be a game this series where Hellebuyck lets in one goal at maximum. And you have to hope, and he's standing on his head, and he's going to try to steal a game. That's what good goalies do, plain and simple. And the way this offensive firepower is doing, especially on the road, now coming back at the home ice, where it's going to be even more juiced up, is absolutely massive for this team.
I think that the coaching staff will be the last kind of shout-out that I give because we don't need to take up too much more of the night. We want to save some stuff to talk about on our normal episode tomorrow, which everybody should tune in. It will be live because it is – playoff season, but we're going to have our normal episode where we'll also mention the draft. The coaching staff, the Avalanche coaching staff proved why they are former Stanley Cup champions, but the change in the way that they've done their penalty kill where they're always sending somebody towards the puck, they have an attacker, so you force somebody to make a decision instead of trying to hold some specific shape, basically playing man instead of zone. That shift really helped. And two, the Avalanche made the coaching staff look even better because Buchogras lost his damn mind in the booth. Okay, 4 minutes left. You're down two. Pull the goalie. Pull the goalie. Pull the goalie. Pull the goalie.
That was something. That was really something. I don't think I've ever seen that.
You want to know why? You want to know why I think they did that? Because they were seeing every time they get into the Avalanche zone, there's a stick in the lane and the puck ends up going back the other way. They could not get sustained pressure with about from about 5 minutes left in the game on. There was a couple like 20-second stretches, but for the most part, that was as comfortable of a empty net kill situation like last 5 minutes of a hockey game in the playoffs where I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, like my team needs to get this win. I want us to finish. I was comfortable. I knew at that point, like Rick Bowness tonight was defeated. The coaching staff had Rick, just like LeBron and AD, get the hell out of here.
Look, what I just talked about a couple of minutes ago, let's not forget what Winnipeg did in the playoffs last year. The Stanley Cup winners, the Las Vegas Knights, were down 1-0 to Winnipeg in the first round. They rattled off 4 in a row. Finished the series in 5. Series was over. Winnipeg didn't win another game. If you're able to do that against this team and demoralize them with a Game 3 win and possibly another Game 4 win, that's being very, very obviously generous, hopeful. But if you're able to do that, you can massively momentum the series. So like I said, you took this momentum back. You took the momentum back. And a team that, like I said, those buttholes are getting tight. A lot of guys, Hellebuck included, on that team last year, they're still on this team this year, that know what happened last year. And like I said, the crowd was crazy. Everyone, ESPN, Pat McAfee show, I love Pat, but everybody in the world was talking about Winnipeg, what is Winnipeg that, Winnipeg this, Winnipeg that. The Avalanche came in and took care of business and shut that crowd up very quickly. And now the question is, can Winnipeg do the same? Or are the Avs going to continue this firepower momentum and keep firing at Hellebuck and make sure that MacKinnon and company continue firing on all cylinders?
Predictions. We'll have predictions more so for Friday's show, but I'll burn. So we're going to do trivia again. I'm going to burn one of my trivia questions just because I can't keep it in. Who else is famous from Manitoba, Nico? You should know. It's a sport that we spent quite a bit of time covering a couple weeks ago. You will never forgive yourself for not knowing this one.
Yeah, that person also is in some deep shit too with old Vinny Mac. So I don't love bringing him up either.
And I'm not going to mention his name, but I mentioned his catchphrase so people know who I'm talking about. He's also from Manitoba. But other thing that I'm predicting, we're going to see a fight on Friday night.
It's about overdue, and I feel like
it's overdue. Lowry. The scrums today were getting really heated. Lowry is going to try and step up. I hope it's Manson. Manson and Nemetskov, I thought we're going to fight, actually.
Nemetskov, obviously, former Av, too funny enough. But look, I really don't want a fight. I really would rather fight a high-flying thing because there's two things that a fight does. A fight is very, very momentum swing. And especially at home, if you're a dominated team the way you are, it is dumb to take one. If you're down in a game, then we can have that talk. But the way the Avs are flying around this team, taking a 4-on-4 obviously helps you because you're so much faster than the other team. But I just I prefer a up and down, saying fuck you as the puck's in the back of the net. That's all I would say. Is because, like I said, when you're losing series and when you're losing that's what teams are going to try to get chippy for. And the Avs are above that, in my opinion. They are above that. So
I expect the Jets to do that, even though the series is tied, because the Jets, in their mind, they're going to see this as, oh shit, if we let this thing get any further out of hand, we're not going to be able to correct it. If you've ever driven in the snow, you steer into the skid to a point, but if you steer too far into the skid, you're going to turn yourself around and run off the road. The Jets, I feel like, all the recency bias, and I'm sure if anybody from Winnipeg is listening, they're going to be able to take Monday's show and put it next to today's show, and then we'll see how Friday's show goes, Sunday's show. I feel pretty good. I feel like we are not there yet where I can say, like, we've broken Winnipeg. Tonight was a huge step because this team dominated us all regular season long, but made us feel kind of – it felt icky after game one. This feels more like Avalanche playoff hockey following game two, and I'm just super excited to see it live and in person on Friday night for game three.
Absolutely.
Game three, opening I know that Ball Arena is already open for the playoffs, but NHL Stanley Cup playoff opener for the Colorado Avalanche Friday night. I love Ball Arena. I love going to Ball Arena for Nuggets games. Love going to Ball Arena for Avalanche games. And I'm excited.
And look, I'll talk about the whiteout. Look, the Avs have the pom poms, and snow is actually coming down. So I'm going to say look, the whiteout's cool. It's special, but I think the Avs have one of the best traditions in hockey with the white pom poms and with the shaking of the palms, and looking like it's snow coming down and an avalanche coming down. And I think there's not much better. So I'm very, very excited to get back. Like I said, last year was I'm pretty sure we lost.
We won that game.
We did win that game. So maybe we're 1-0, knock on wood, that we're able to continue this playoff streak. I'm 2-0 in the playoffs too. At playoff games this year, I've obviously been a good luck. So hopefully we continue.
All right. Be sure to tune in live tomorrow night. New episode of the Far End of the Bench, episode 180. Coming at you live tomorrow, and then Thursday, we will both be live. Nico will come in for a portion of the draft show. I will be on our VSN draft show talking the Gridiron Spectacular for the entirety of the program. Be sure to check that out with myself, Darren. Brandon's probably going to make an appearance. Nico's going to be there. I might try and drag Rev back on the show. We're going to try and get as many guests as possible and see how wild things can get, especially if Caleb Williams does not get drafted number one overall. There's also now talk that J.J. McCarthy might find himself in Washington. Again, those are topics that we're going to touch on tomorrow. Be sure to follow at FEOTP Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you all very much for staying up late. Hopefully everybody enjoyed watching the Avalanche get back on track. Series tied 1-1 going back to Denver. If you're going to the game Friday, check us out. Nico, what else do you have for the people?
29 more. 29
more. It's a double parade. Tune back in with us tomorrow night for myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant. This has been a Far End of the Bench bonus post-game show for the Colorado Avalanche. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow night.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.